Medical Matters.
Monique Nell is my guest, medical advisor at Rare Diseases, about Rare Diseases at Sanofi. Monique, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Aubrey, for inviting me again to your show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Gaucher disease. What is that, Monique?
Yeah, so firstly, I think the last time I was on your show was in February. So it's not a few weeks ago. It was a few months ago.
Right, okay.
So it just shows you exactly how...
Seared in my mind, yeah?
Time flies, yes. Yeah. So what is Gaucher disease? So it falls under a class called liposomal storage disorders. And normally in a place, I would rather start by explaining what is a liposomal storage disorder, because once we understand what is a lysosome and the effect and the impact of a lysosome that is dysfunctional, then we understand the impact that it has on the body.
Right.
So I would only like to use an analogy of what is a lysosome. And then I use it that you say it's like a waste bin or like it's a little soldier of destruction, because it's taking care of that waste material, that unwanted substrate that is in the cell. So the lysosome will then uptake those substrates, and then there's thousands of different of enzymes within the lysosome, and each lysosome is responsible for the degradation or the metabolism of a substrate. So when there's a lack of or a deficiency of that enzyme, that is when we see that the substrate is accumulating. And then it leads to the dysfunctional effects into the cell. So basically, what is Gaucher's disease? It is when there is a deficiency of a specific enzyme, and then we see a buildup of a substrate, and it leads to the different clinical features of the disease.
And what does it look like? How do the symptoms present? In other words, and I suppose that question is connected to the very idea that this is a rare disease in and of itself, because
the
symptoms are probably so endemic.
I don't think they are quite specific. So like all the other rare diseases, I think the problem is that it's so heterogeneous. That can present in so many ways, in so many different ways. So, for example, in one family or with two siblings that shares the same mutation in the gene, they can present completely differently. And the one, there will be a visceral disease, so they will have the organ involvement, whereas the sibling with the same mutation might have no organ involvement but more than severe bone complications. So extremely heterogeneous Gaucher's disease when it looks at the initial presentation and then the progression of the disease as well.
Is this something that's hereditary? Is this something that or just happens randomly?
So I won't say randomly, but we can look at general signs. I don't like to use the word general sometimes, because then that's the only thing that the clinicians will start looking at. But the first sign is normally the visceral sign. So those are the enlarged livers, enlarged spleen. Normally it's accompanied with low red blood count. So the patient will come in to sound very tired. My patient is fatigued. Or thrombocytopenia, which is the low platelet count. So the patients will present with easy bruising or bleeding. So those are the key signs. But we should also take into consideration is the skeletal signs of the disease that is not so evident normally in childhood or in the pediatrics, because it's still progressing, and it's progressing insidiously, but it is there. Where with the adults, it's similar features like your enlarged spleen and your enlarged livers, but here we do see more of the bone complications coming through, which is extremely important, because the bone complications are those that is disabling. It has the long-term complications. It negatively impacts the patient's quality of life. You can just imagine if there's a bone damage that has occurred, it cannot be reversed. So that is where the problem is with Gaucher's disease. It's actually the bone manifestation of it when it's untreated.
I remember I asked this question the last time we had the conversation as to what constitutes a rare disease. How do we come to a point where we say that this particular disease is a rare disease? Are there any specific criteria that we can look to that helps us classify a disease to become or to be a rare disease?
Yeah, so in South Africa, we don't have a specific definition yet. So it's currently being worked on in our rare disease policy, which is an ongoing process. But from a global perspective, it's anything between one in 50 to 100,000 live births. So then it can be classified as a rare disease. And currently we are looking at more than 7,000 different rare diseases that has been described, but we are adding to those numbers on a daily basis. So it's not specific. Each country has their own rare disease definition, and it depends on which reference you like to refer to in terms of what a rare disease is.
Yeah. Do we have a country's definition that we are generally sort of aligned to?
The European ones we kind of align into.
Okay.
So it's 100,000.
Okay, there you go. So if there's a disease manifests itself and there's one in 100,000, then we can call that a rare disease, yeah?
Yes,
but
it can possibly fall under that umbrella, yes.
Jeremy is in Edenvale. Jeremy, hi. You living with Gaucher's disease, or Gaucher's disease, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. Hello, Aubrey.
And, yeah.
It's Michelle.
It's Monique Nell.
Monique, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Monique. Yes. Hi, Monique. Yes, how are you doing? I've been living with Gaucher's. I was diagnosed about 20 years ago in my 30s. I'm now in my 50s. And at the time when I was diagnosed, there was it almost took 2 years at the time. I was told I had yuppie flu, all sorts of things. And eventually I got a diagnosis. And I had to wait 10 years before I was afforded treatment. And I'm actually on Cerezyme. I've been on Cerezyme for 10 years. The difference that it's made in my life, I'm very blessed. I'm a normal person. I used to suffer from asthma. I had terrible bone crisis and developed sarcoidosis of the lungs. And I can proudly report today that with treatment, I can run and I can do everything that a normal person can do. So there is hope out there.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to our medical profession in South Africa, particularly the medical aides, because we do live in a country with such vast disparity between the haves and the have-nots,
yeah,
the public health and the private sector. I just want to say to the medical aides and in general that if you have a member on your on your books, please, these are people's lives that you are dealing with, and they're not just numbers. They're not just membership numbers. These are lives and families. And the difference that it has made to my family that my medical aid supports me and pays for my treatment is beyond measure.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for all of us to recognize that these rare diseases do exist. They affect families and lives. And if there is an opportunity for patients to have treatment, I think it's the medical aid's responsibility and the government in public health to ensure that these patients get the treatment that they deserve.
What a great call, man. Thank you so much. What an excellent
amazing
call. Much
story.
Appreciated.
So
one out of 100,000, Monique, and that would be, I suppose, for people that are actually looking for this thing, right? What do you think the prevalence in South Africa is of Gaucher's disease?
So Gaucher's disease is slightly more common than the original rare diseases. We're looking at 1 in 40,000 to 1 in 60,000. Whereas for the Ashkenazi Jewish descent population, it's actually 60 times more common. So there we've got a prevalence data of 1 in 800 live births. So definitely that is more your higher risk population. If you refer to South Africa, if we now take this data that we've got from global, I do believe we've got a huge population that is undiagnosed or misdiagnosed currently, because we currently have more or less 80 patients diagnosed in South Africa. And if you do the math, we should be having around about 300. But yes, it all depends on the population and the genetic makeup and so forth. And it is all about just collecting a lot of data to see where or more or less we should land.
Jeremy's story is quite quite instructive, because he speaks of a whole decade of being misdiagnosed, I suppose, is the right term to use, of medical practitioners not knowing what was wrong with him. There were manifestations at a skeletal level, as you said, at a blood level. Are there better ways now of pinpointing, of finding out whether somebody has Gaucher's disease?
Yes, I think if you talk about the pain points here, because if you look at all the manifestations of Gaucher's disease, the comorbidities, the complications, the problem is that it overlaps with so many other more common diseases.
Yeah.
And also very important diseases, like your blood-related malignancies, like your cancers, your multiple myelomas and leukemias. And it's because of that specific overlap that it's this complicated clinical decision-making process that the clinicians have to go through before pinpointing it to maybe being a Gaucher's disease. But whenever there is a high suspicion, I think the first thing that they should try to do is to test for Gaucher's disease and rather rule it out or obtain a diagnosis and leaving it as your last resort or your last option to test for. It's an easy test to do, so rather rule it out or get the diagnosis. Would be my opinion when we look at the specific condition.
What do they look for when they are, looking for Gaucher's disease? What specifically are they looking for?
So I think there's three ways to determine whether a patient might have Gaucher's disease besides the clinical aspects that the doctor could probably see in the examination. So most often these patients will end up either at an oncologist or a hematologist, because this is how they present. And the routine practice within the hematological oncology practices is to perform a bone marrow biopsy. And in the bone marrow biopsy, if maybe they could actually pick up these Gaucher cells, okay? But if they don't, they cannot completely rule out Gaucher's disease. And that is a very important point to make. So the best way to diagnose Gaucher's disease is to do a blood sample in the form of a dried blood spot test. It's an easy sample. And then a lab that we use in Potchefstroom, where they will perform the enzymatic analysis. So this is to determine the level of enzyme. And normally when that result comes back and it's very low, that's already a strong indicator of having the disease. And then to do a confirmatory test, the test is then sent forward for genetics.
Yeah.
And then based on the genetic results normally, it will be classified as pathogenic, maybe likely pathogenic, or a variant that hasn't been described that well in literature, but there is a mutation in that specific gene. So, to get a confirmatory diagnosis, you need genetics. But there's other ways, like clues, that could head the doctor in the right direction.
I want to talk a little bit about those clues, but I suppose that the fact that we have some pretty robust comorbidities. In other words, comorbidities that would stand alone under normal circumstances, that's the problem. The fact that those comorbidities are there and they sometimes overlap is part of the reason why Gaucher's disease, at the very core of it all, is so well hidden, huh?
Exactly, yes. It mimics other diseases, and then it's also hidden under a lot of other diseases, you're right.
Monique, Why does it occur more prevalently in one community than another?
Like, for instance, now you're Ashkenazi Jews.
Yes.
So the researchers think it is because of the common ancestries many Jews share. So it's consanguinity. But then I must add to this, I think over many, many years of awareness and education, because they are now classified as a high-risk population, I do believe that the prevalence has decreased over time. But according to data and the existing prevalence data, that is still the high-risk population where we see most of the diagnosis has been made.
So let me see if I understand what you're saying. Because of the fact that there are genetic characteristics that are similar in a particular community, that weakens the ability of cells to produce the enzymes that would be able to effectively deal with the possibility of Gaucher's disease. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I don't think that is right. So it's when there is within one family, when there is a specific individual sharing the same genetic mutation.
Right.
And then there's consanguinity. So you're, because this is an autosomal recessive inheriting disease, you require the mom to, and the dad both to be carriers of the gene. And then there's a possibility that the offspring will have the condition. So it's a genetic disorder.
Right.
And because of sanguinity, when mom and dad both have the mutated gene, then we will get the offspring that is affected with the disease.
Understood. 011-883-0702, Monique Nell is my guest, medical advisor on rare diseases at Sanofi. We're talking about Gaucher's disease. What was Gaucher? Where does Gaucher? What is Gaucher?
I'm not sure where the name comes from.
Yeah.
But it gets pronounced in so many ways. Gaucher.
Yeah, no. I was going to say Gaucher when I started the show, and Tati was no, Orbs. It's Gaucher. Hey? Give me a call, 011-883-0702. You were going to tell me a little bit about those clues that may help us diagnose and catch out Gaucher's disease a little earlier than perhaps we would if we were completely in the dark. What are some of those clues, Monique?
There's specific algorithms that we do make available to the doctors to help them diagnose these patients much, much better. So we've got algorithms for the general population, and then we've got algorithms for the Ashkenazi Jewish population. So if you look at the general population, because the most common feature will be splenomegaly, which is the enlarged spleen, with or without the hematological finding. So by following this algorithm, it will lead you to say, okay, I think you should rather perform a Gaucher's test. But predominantly, the key features is enlarged spleen, with thrombocytopenia or anemia. That should already tick the box to think Gaucher's disease.
Yeah.
In the Ashkenazi Jewish population, The algorithm is slightly different because of the high rate of diagnosis. So as soon as there is a spleen that's enlarged, these patients should immediately be tested and not be referred for other hematological disorders like you would do in the general population.
Yeah.
If that already had a splenectomy, because that is removing the spleen, first point will be to do an enzyme analysis test to look for Gaucher's disease.
How prepared are we here in South Africa? So sorry, Monique, you were going to finish your sentence there. My apologies.
It's fine. You may carry on.
So I was going to ask how prepared are we? I mean, Jeremy's call was quite a revealing call in that. It appears that some medical aids, for those that can afford medical aids, do support their clients. But it appears that there are those that don't get the support. But also, we have a large population that depends on the public sector medical sort of a system, which in itself is ailing for many, many different reasons. How prepared are we for, one, the diagnosis of Gaucher's disease, but also the treatment of it in the public sector? And then maybe you could talk a little bit about the private sector.
So if we look at our population and then our two different sectors, so it's the public and the state, 80% of our population access treatment in state, versus the 20% of the population in the private sector. So from a Sanofi perspective, we've really been dedicated for a long time in finding patients and then trying to early diagnose these patients or to shorten that diagnostic odyssey. So what we do is we provide education on lysosomal storage disorders, doing awareness, hosting webinars, having expert talks, and we offer this not just to private but also to our public sector, students, upcoming key opinion leaders, doctors, and so forth. And then also we offer the diagnostic test. So this test is available through your routine laboratories, which is your ANPAS or your Lancet, not just the private labs, but also those labs within the bigger academic hospitals that are well aware of the tests that we do offer our patients. So yes, I think, and even if the doctor is somewhere far away from hospitals, if they can make contact with our laboratory, you can easily get a test kit to them and they will be able to test the patient.
Do you have a number for me that you could quote as to the number of people that does that do have Gaucher's disease in South Africa?
So, yeah, I'm not sure how accurate the number is, but according to our database, more or less 80 patients has been diagnosed with Gaucher's disease.
Okay. Sure. Then it is rare, hey? Let's speak to Thabo in Roodepoort. Hi, Thabo.
Hi, Ops. Yeah. Great show as usual. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just want to find out from Monique, if Gaucher is a single nucleotide mutation, and if it is, what are the prospects of using the new technology, CRISPR, gene editing, to get rid of the disease?
CRISPR, hey? Let me just tell me, what is CRISPR, Thabo?
CRISPR is a new technology for gene editing.
Right.
We've actually used it even for to create the new vaccines, the new COVID vaccines.
Right.
So if it's a single nucleotide mutation, then there is a chance of actually editing the gene. So I just want to find out.
Sure. Yeah. Monique?
I'm sorry, Aubrey. The line was really bad between myself and Thabo, so I didn't hear the question.
So he wants to find out if this new technique or the technology. Thabo, please explain to Monique. I wouldn't even know how to start.
Monique, I just want to find out if Gaucher, is it due to a single nucleotide mutation? Because obviously it's a mutation. You know, your diabetes is multi-dimensional. It's not only a single gene that is involved there.
Yeah.
Your diabetes. But is this a single gene mutation, single nucleotide mutation? If it is, what are the prospects of using the new gene editing to get rid of the disease?
I see. He's talking about gene editing and gene therapy.
Yeah.
So, yes, there is current clinical trials ongoing from a global perspective looking at gene therapies for Gaucher's disease. It's still in early stages of research and development, so it's not close to being ready for use or therapy yet in South Africa, but it is investigated. So it is probably on its way or in the pipeline.
So I was watching a movie over the weekend, Monique, that basically the storyline was extraterrestrial sort of aliens come into Earth and they take over Los Angeles and there's these like crack marines that are fighting. I'm trying to show you what I'm hearing in this conversation.
Your soldiers of destruction.
There you go. And these soldiers are fighting these marines and they're trying to figure out what the problem is and they discover, Earth is being colonized and what they actually want is that they want to take over the water reserves or the water resources that we have because that's fuel to them and we as human beings or earthlings need to figure out how they actually die because these things just don't die, man. You shoot them, they just keep coming, right? And it just sounds like that, you know, with these enzymes that aren't there, and then the body just fights against itself, and there it just sounds like an alien attack in the body. Am I remotely close to getting a sense of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, basically, maybe you're kind of using an analogy that can be correct because there's something missing. There's an enzyme missing. But instead of that enzyme being broken down, there's a buildup of that enzyme. And then it leads to a lot of other complications in the body.
Yeah.
But it's such a simplified way to actually treat it because there's treatment available just by replacing that deficient enzyme with a recombinant version of it. And then, basically, as Jeremy has said, he's got a normal life now.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
the substrate is being taken care of through metabolism of this recombinant version of the enzyme. So it does not have to be that thriller story you've got in mind.
Yeah, okay, so ultimately, in the movie, they figure out what the alien's weak point is, right? And then the drones start crashing down and these aliens start dying and then we win the war, right? And here I am standing in the living room just before I get load shed with my arms in the victory sort of stance because we won the war. But it sounds to me like the issue here is finding, or at least finding that crucial piece of the puzzle.
It's finding the patient. So then you, step one, I think, is finding the patient. And then you have achieved, then you're halfway. And then getting the patient onto treatment is the second part. So
Essentially, what is the treatment? Essentially, what is the treatment? I know it's dealing with that substrate. That's the manifestation. But is it the production of more enzymes, or what is the treatment actually do?
So it's actually an enzyme replacement therapy. So you're replacing the enzyme with an intravenous infusions, an IV infusion every second week.
Right.
So unfortunately, it's lifelong therapy. It's an IV infusion, you're replacing that specific enzyme with it, and then it breaks down that specific substrate, and it then reduces that secondary pathology.
Right. Because if the substrate was being broken down, then we wouldn't see the manifestation of Gaucher's disease. So okay, I get it. I'm beginning to come closer. Richard is in Johannesburg. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, hi, it's not little home. It's not little aliens in your body. This is a storage disease. You know what? The fact of the matter is that in the public sector, we don't have this medication.
Yeah.
It's not only for Gaucher's disease, but it's for Anderson Fabry, Niemann-Pick, and a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
If you've got a medical aid, they do have a scheme whereby your doctor can motivate for you to access them. Put it this way, Aubrey, there are new medications.
Yeah.
We call them biologicals. For example, for treatment of a severe form of high cholesterol, where you've got a homozygote gene. In other words, you don't have receptors normally the cholesterol is taken up by the liver cells.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have receptor on those liver cells, you can't take cholesterol from your blood, and you can have complications related to that, including heart attack and strokes, very early on in childhood.
Yeah.
Now, unless you've got a medical aid, you simply won't access the new biologicals that are available. From pharma. Pharma doesn't give those medications to state patients. It's as simple as that.
So are you saying to me, Richard, that if you are using the public sector, then it's tickets
for
you?
You won't get them. It's as simple as that. You will not get it because somebody has to pay for it.
You sound like a medical practitioner yourself. You're a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a cardiologist.
Yeah.
The pharmaceuticals will tell you they're not working for charity. They're not a charity organization.
Yeah.
So, it's very difficult, to be honest, because we simply, even for heart failure, there are new therapeutic agents for heart failure.
Yeah.
We don't have them.
And from your experience, Richard, if you were to surmise, how prevalent is Gaucher's disease in the public sector?
Nah, it's rare. The numbers are small.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why it's small, it's because we don't have treatment, and it's not a South African phenomenon. Even in the States, in Europe. Because where we don't have treatment, doctors don't bother looking for those conditions. But when they know that, for example, there's a condition called amyloidosis.
Yeah.
When I was training, it can affect the heart and it can affect the nerves and so forth. When I was training, we didn't really do much to look for it because you knew even if you found it and you confirmed the diagnosis, the next thing is what are you going to do for the patient? But in the last couple of years, because medicine has really developed very, very nicely, and we're really practicing precision medicine.
Yeah.
These drugs are available overseas very easily to treat patients using the various schemes, including for so-called non-insured patients.
Right.
But in South Africa, if you don't have medical aid, you simply won't access that.
Yeah. Richard, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Rico. So you're saying to me my analogy with the aliens just doesn't work, eh?
No. Bottom line, Aubrey, save some money, have a good medical aid, then you'll be fine.
Richard in Johannesburg, much appreciated. Monique, Richard makes a very, very scary point, right? He says that the prevalence of Gaucher's disease in the public sector is very minimal. But then he also says that the reason why it's probably minimal is because nobody's looking for it. Because even if they did find it, there wouldn't be any way of treating that person because it's a commodified disease almost. It's a money disease.
So I think there's two components in here. So the first thing, I said there's no existing rare disease policy in South Africa, which is lacking because a lot of other countries do have it, where it can classify specific rare diseases and then put it as a prescribed minimal benefit, when then public sectors would have to start paying for these diseases. So this is something, and it needs to be done in partnership with the Department of Health. So our Rare Disease Society, Kelly and her team, and a lot of other stakeholders are currently working on that. The second thing is that from a state sector perspective, they don't have rare disease budgets. So they never put rare disease budget aside, and that is why there's no funds for these patients with a rare disease. So those are two things. So I do agree a lot with what Dr. Richard has mentioned. There's two other things I just want to mention as well, is that we've diagnosed many patients in state sector already. There is a hospital, an academic hospital, that is funding Gaucher's disease currently in the country. And then from a Sanofi perspective, we do have a humanitarian program. So it has quite extensive medical criteria that has to be met. But we have a few patients in state sector that is accessing treatment through this program. So there is access to treatment for specific patients of Gaucher's disease and the other conditions he has mentioned, Fabry, ASMD, Hunter syndrome. So So I agree with him at some points. At other points, I just want to correct him as well that we do have treatments available.
Tell me about lifestyle and perhaps even diet. To what extent does that contribute to being susceptible or to being susceptible to Gaucher's disease?
It doesn't change. It's inherited. It's a genetic disorder. So your lifestyle will change, your diet, nothing will change your diagnosis.
So you can eat all the rabbit food you want.
it won't change your genetic makeup. It will still remain your genetic makeup.
Go ahead and eat the chops, and the boerewors.
And the chocolate cake.
Monique, you bad. All right, give us a call. 011-883-0702. Monique says, child the boerewors, bro. child the chops. It doesn't matter. Do you, man. Yeah, I imagine there are, I suppose, things that go beyond the reach of our lifestyle issues and whether we can do that. But I imagine it is important at some level to try and lead a healthy lifestyle, to try and, I don't know, alleviate perhaps the symptoms once you've got Gaucher's disease.
Yeah, I think what we try to aim with Gaucher's disease is to improve the patient's quality of life.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, whether it's less fatigueness, less weakness, not having the joint pain or bone pain. So that is what we're trying to achieve with the treatment. So nothing, I think, that the patient can do, but a lot of that allied health, perhaps, or a multidisciplinary team can be outside of the actual enzyme replacement therapy. There's a lot of other options as well that can possibly help the patient's treatment, the management of the disease. So, yes, I think there's a lot of aspects. It's not just the enzyme replacement therapy, but a whole multidisciplinary team working together helping these patients to improve their quality of life.
So 1st of October is International Gaucher Day. What are we to expect from whatever's going to be done on that specific day?
Yes, yeah, so International Gaucher Day was first launched in 2014, and since then it's been celebrated on the 1st of October. It's all about raising awareness. I think this year the focus will be on the management of Gaucher's disease, really focusing on the person as a whole. So it's actually going beyond treatment of the physical symptoms. It's their quality of life. It's their family life. It's their emotional being, their well-being, a lot more. So I can really encourage the listeners and the community to follow the drive on social media. So if they follow the hashtags of International Gaucher Day, the Managing Gaucher Day, Rare But Not Alone, on any of the social media platforms, it will be great.
Well, Monique, as always, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Really, really appreciate the information. Where can people find literature or any other source of information for International Gaucher's Day? Is there a white website available?
I'm sure they'll find something on the Rare Disease South Africa website. Also, the Gaucher Alliance Group, which is an international group. So those are the two sites I can definitely recommend for more information.
And how do they get in touch with you if they want to have that conversation at length?
Yes, please. Yeah. So they could use the email address rarediagnostics@sanofi.com. And if they've got questions regarding diagnoses, they can contact our lab in Potchefstroom at PLIN, PLIEM, at NWU@AC.ca.
Monique Nell, medical advisor on rare diseases at Sanofi. Thank you so much for joining us.